Welcome to Radio Evolve. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
Elizabeth, my dear colleague from the Evolve magazine and our work at Evolve World, and we want to speak about a new project we launched in as Evolve World, which is called the Interbeing Monastery. And maybe to start with that question, what is the idea of that interbeing monastery?
Well, I guess there are a couple of different ways to answer that question, probably more than a couple. But so on one level, it's an online space, an online community space for an ecology of practice so that people can join for free. It's joining makes you a member of the community. There's no charge for that. And you get access to meditation, what we call interbeing tea dialogues, Lectio Divina, different practices that we're offering to start with, and we'll see if we can expand those practices. But it's a space for people to come together and practice. So online, and which seems like maybe a strange thing to do. But we've found over the years that there can be quite a transmission, quite a field that is generated by doing committed practice together online. And we've been organizing morning meditations here in Europe for many, many years, and there's a very strong field that's created there. And this gives us the benefit of being able to do practice together, because doing practice together often has more power than practicing alone. They're very different. They're very different. So that's on one level what it is. On another level, it's a space to incubate a new consciousness. And if you think back to the monasteries that were built in the Middle Ages, it's like the fall of the Holy Roman, or the fall of the Holy Roman Empire, and the development of Christianity throughout Europe created an amazing world of monasteries with towns that grew up next to them. When I came to Germany, now I guess it's 13 years ago, I hadn't traveled. I hadn't traveled to Germany. I'd been to Italy, France, the UK, different parts of Europe, but I had stayed away from Germany, I think because of the Second World War, and stereotypes that I saw in American World War II films. But I was stunned by how beautiful Germany is, and how many monasteries there were, how much commitment there was in this country, and also in Austria, to devoted practice in a monastic setting. And I was also struck that now most of these monasteries are empty. They're these gorgeous buildings, and they're empty. And it made me think about, like, well, what purpose have they served? What is it that happened? And if you look at it, the practices that the monastics developed, like Lectio Divina, which we do, but also prayer, confession, which I think these days many of us kind of go like, ooh, that seems like a violation in some way. But it was a process of developing the inner moral capacity of human beings. And these monasteries We're incubators of a consciousness that was new at the time. Our individuation as human beings, our ability to take responsibility for and understand our inner workings, to be able to feel the difference between self and world, which now has run into trouble. We're now too separate from self and between self and world. But at the time, the capacity of individuation was particularly on a large scale was new. And you the cultivation of the capacities of self-reflection, the capacity of moral agency, the capacity to be open to a transcendent dimension within oneself that one could orient to. All of these were critical building blocks to creating the individual that we that the individuals that we are today. And that the monastery served a kind of incubating function in developing this consciousness in, you know, what, how many hundreds of years ago. But right now, I mean, well, we need a new consciousness, a consciousness that is not so divided between self and other, where we recognize again in a new way the fabric of connection that exists between us. And that's what we call interbeing. So we're looking to provide people with a place to come and practice, and also to, in that practice and through the Interbeing Monastery, to be able to develop this, the capacities to reach to be able to become aware of the living field between us, and which is, as I said, which is what we call interbeing. So those are the main things that I think of when you ask, what is this?
Yeah, and maybe going back also to creating a place, and like you were saying, those monasteries in times, or also temples and other cultures. I mean, there are this kind of places that are devoted to spiritual practice and to existential investigation of what who we are as human beings, and now we also have this online world or capacity to connect, and I think it's quite interesting, an interesting experiment to create such a place also in an online way. And as you said, we are also exploring with that since a few years, like others also. And it's quite surprising that also this kind of movements or openings or deepening of consciousness together can also be experienced in an online space, like you were mentioning, our morning meditations or also dialogue that we do, how it is really possible to be in a really shared presence through online. And
Yeah.
it's a quite an interesting thing, maybe to reflect a bit on that, what shows us, what shows itself there also as a potential.
Yeah, I think that that's really important. I mean, Zoom or this kind of video conferencing is we it was created. I find this interesting. It was created for businesses, right? The founder of Zoom, I mean, we were working with Zoom way early before it became the salvation or I don't know what's the opposite or pitfall of the COVID years. But the Zoom was created for businesses to facilitate communications across offices for international companies and so forth and so on. But writing was discovered and was used originally way back thousands of years ago as a way of keeping track trades. Like you give me two goats, I give you a sheep. And so that needed to be recorded somewhere. And you think about everything that's come from that is literate culture, that were holy books. And likewise, we have a very mercantile use or technology, which is Zoom, but there's something in it that they didn't anticipate. And I think that what they didn't anticipate is that it opens up quite a mystery, because it's like you and I are here. We are a few hundred kilometers separate, but you can be anywhere in the world and be together in presence. That you are really here as I see you on my screen. But your presence is here. My presence is here. And there's a shared presence. There's something shared between us in this mysterious space that is artificial in some ways, but it also is not, because you're really here and so am I. And this shared presence, or this capacity to be thousands of miles apart, hundreds of thousands of kilometers apart, and yet be able to touch each other through language, or to share a field of practice, share the depth of meditation, is quite extraordinary. And sometimes we talk about seeing part of our work as ensouling this technology. To make it possible for the deeper parts of our humanity to come alive, and in it and through it, and which I find always kind of a miracle, that we're able to sit in different places. You're on my desk, coming through my laptop. But it's you, Mike. It's not just some static noise. And the fact that we can touch each other this way, and that we can feel each other this way, that we are present to each other, and we collectively create a shared presence, is what opens a whole space of possibility for global practice together. And we're hoping to attract people from around the world to experiment with creating this new incubator for an interbeing, for the field of togetherness that is shared presence, that has actually quite some powerful capacities, as we're discovering.
Yeah, I feel also it opens up this deep reality of interbeing and of shared presence. I mean, that this is really who we are in a deeper way, and there are different ways to bring that into being. And obviously, when we are in the same place or gather in a monastery or a retreat center or whatever what it is, then that can become very palpable present to be in one space. But I find it also surprising to see that this can also happen in an online space. And in a certain way, I mean, not I think we always will need these physical spaces to really be together and feel each other in a different way and with bodily presence in a
It's not meant to be a substitute.
And at the same time, also it adds something, this technological way, because it can immediately be so global. You know, people like when we do this practice days, like people from America and Canada and Denmark and wherever can be there, and it somehow can lead also into seeing or strengthening that sense of interbeing as a way or as a reality of our consciousness that can become apparent, and then through sharing practice that also support that, make that, yeah, like you said, like incubating that truth of existence in us and between us, and that in that way also using this technology in a way to, yeah, like you said, to strengthen our soul, or to deepen this interbeing consciousness and reality.
Yeah, it's really mind-blowing to think that this is possible. Because the truth of all that all spiritual traditions recognize is the fundamental unity of all, the oneness, the absolute, that each tradition has some way of understanding the unity of life and beyond. And it's kind of mind-blowing to think that this business-oriented technology serves the function to bring into our awareness in a very, very simple way our prior connection, the fact that we are ultimately, as life, part of life. And nothing can be separated out of the whole. That the wholeness that is the living truth can be perceived through Zoom online, of course in person and together, but interbeing and focusing on the field between us, that is present online, can give us access to this deeper truth. And it's not that we're accessing. I mean, I find it very interesting that meditation was created, or was developed as a practice, again, to individuate the human beings, to give human beings, again, moral responsibility and ethical responsibility for their actions, to make that possible. And meditation is, again, an alignment with no-thing, or an alignment with the highest principle, or an opening to the absolute, again, creating us as individuals. And I always found it quite stark going to meditation retreats. And or I remember Krishnamurti speaking about everyone dropping their shoes and going in to meditate, and then coming out and fighting over who had whose shoes. You know, that the oneness that one experiences in meditation, it's like I can't experience oneness by myself. You know, what kind of oneness is that? That the fact that so often our meditation leads us into a more isolated place, or in terms of being connected with other human beings, or it can. And I think from the highly individuated people that we are, that meditation can be used to further that hyper individuation. And what's interesting about the emergence of interbeing and our awareness of the capacity of the field, which is not just an online thing, as you were saying, is that while this is not an absolute unity, it is an experiential sense of non-separation from all who is present and beyond that. So it's in fact, to bring in this term, it's part of an imaginal reality, and I don't mean imagined. That there's physical reality, there's the absolute one without a second, and then there's a dimensions in between. And this is a dimension in between that is informed by the wholeness that is the absolute truth. And it's quite surprising that this is possible through technology, or possible to sensitize us, to make us more aware, to make us be able to open to this and co-create with it.
Yeah, and also that we can somehow move into technology or an internet online space with a certain intention, and that this intention can manifest there. Like, when people come to a practice place, the Interbeing Monastery, there is already an intention that people come with that is somehow also holding the space or is communicating even through the online connection that we are here together to practice together, to make room for that interbeing reality and to nourish and strengthen that together. And somehow that intention then really it almost infuses the space, and it's maybe also that imaginal space, because yeah, there is also a force of consciousness when people come together with that intention and also with that inner longing and inner devotion towards that deeper reality in themselves and in together, and that can be felt also in an online presence, because we are conscious beings, and we have these capacities of intention, devotion, and moving towards the sacred or interbeing in that way. And when we see that in each other, that communicates also through online. We sense it in the other and in the others when we are many people, and then also in between. That even I find that the most amazing thing also, that then even you can sense there is a field between, and you don't quite know where's the between, because people are from
All
all
over
over
the
the place,
world.
but are on the screen, but it's not on the screen, and it's not somewhere. It's maybe it's the this kind of imaginal sense of, oh, now we are in a space, but it's also a kind of even physical sense. Oh, we are together. I can see it, I sense it in my body also, in my how the kind of aliveness comes, and how something shows itself. So I find that quite, something that speaks to the also the in a way the power of our consciousness and how we move our consciousness together.
And the fact that we are of wholeness, that we are not separate. We are, and I appreciate you pointing out intention. The power of human intention is extraordinary. It's our harnessing the creative power of life and our shared longing, as you said, which I think at particularly at this point in time is really important. I think people are experiencing more and more longing for something other than a superficial material way of existence. That modernity and the gifts of modernity also have an underbelly, and the dark underbelly of materialism is a kind of alienation from life. And I think that is weighing on us more and more as a species, and particularly in the West, because our culture has cut off its roots, and the power of that longing, when it finds a direction, a place, when it's direct, and it seems to be directed by a need for wholeness. A need for wholeness can be interpreted as love, romantic love. It's when you find that you're connected in something larger than just yourself. But also in terms of feeling at home in the universe, feeling needed as a being, that you make a contribution as part of the whole. All of these things are I think are so much a part of why there's so much addiction and depression and all the epidemic of loneliness. All of this is creating a real need for spaces where people can come together in being, not in acquiring or doing in a certain way to fix things, to make things happen, but to allow things to emerge, to be part of the fertile soil of creative life, that this space and spaces like this are needed for us to, as the philosopher Henry Corbin would say, to regain the soul of the world.
Yeah, and I think those places are also sanctuaries. I mean, also I think the idea of this inter being monastery is very much also situated in our times, like you are saying, which is with a lot of alienation and also longing for wholeness, but also a world in crisis and in fragmentation in many ways, and to create a sanctuary place or a place to remind ourselves to that deeper unity or wholeness, or come more deeply into that through practice, to then also give our whole lives a kind of deeper grounding with everything that is happening there, but to hide to f yeah to find a place that really nourishes that inner sense of connectedness, and also being able to meaningfully engage in life, like you are saying. But I think for that, maybe in a particular way, in our times, this really sharing of spirit and sharing of attention is very powerful. I find it always very, very just encouraging and strengthening to be in this space when we have, for instance, this practice day and meeting so many people, where you feel that resonance and that sense, yeah, I want to be there for this wholeness where I am in the world, wherever that might be. And that fuels my own sense of, okay, I sense that, and that deeper wholeness of life, and I want to give that, in the way that I can. And I feel that is a way of connecting and being together that is particular in our time, I feel very, just very needed.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of like when you see all the people who are out resisting and protesting in Minneapolis. I know it gives them strength to see each other, but it gives us strength to see them do that. That when we come together to honor something that is true and right and good, which in practice is wholeness, the human spirit, human intention, the recognition of the good, the true, and the beautiful, that it galvanizes something. It makes us each stronger. I'd like to say a word about practice also. Right? The philosopher Hubert Dreyfus has a term called that is background practices, and he says every culture has background practices that have become just so seamless that they think seem to be just the way things are. And right now our background practices lead us to think that we're separate that we need to go it alone. We don't realize that we're doing that, but constantly we're taking information in and processing it within the framework of ourselves. We're interpreting all sensory experience from myself. And in think we have habitual practices that say I'm here and you're there and there's nothing between us. And that the perspective of being a subject in a world of objects where other human beings are also objects, that perspective, which we think of as reality, is really a set of practices that we do unconsciously and over and over and over again, that we believe that it's creating reality, but it's actually just creating an imaginal realm. And when I again, imaginal is not imaginary. It's very real. It's very real what our belief in this perspective creates and is creating. You see it in the destruction of the biosphere. You see it in the war, the separation between people, the labeling and hierarchizing human beings. But what we're trying to do is to create the background practices for a different culture, a different civilization. One that recognizes wholeness is the start, and not as an idea. Not, yeah, I'd like to, yeah, it's a good idea to think about wholeness as that we're part of a whole. Yeah, makes sense. It's not a make sense kind of thing. It's a presence. It's a recognition of non-separation in action, in being together in practice and practicing that. And we practice it in dialogue. So taking it off the meditation cushion and bringing it into conversation, then in doing that, we are laying down the foundation for a different set of background practices for a culture that will assume this as what is so. And that would be the big vision of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I find it powerful because this speaks to a real a different model of change or transformation, that it's not, finding the or not alone finding a certain vision or idea and then trying to, adjust certain things and certain maybe relationships or things in society to move to that vision or to to find systemic ways to reorder society, that it's more, maybe shows more wholeness, and all of that is also important, but that this practice really shows also a different way that is also needed to create change, which is through embodying certain truths or ways of being human already now in an embodied way together. Like meditation is a way, it is a certain embodying a certain truth about who we are and what life is, and so is dialogue or emergent dialogue as we practice is also embodying and enlivening a certain way of being together with other people and using also our capacity of language and consciousness together in a certain way, and in that way it is creating change in ourselves and in between us that is coming from an embodied process of in a certain way learning a new consciousness or identifying or transforming into a new consciousness, and not, like you said, thinking, oh, this could be interesting and maybe oneness or interbeing is a good idea, let's I don't know, create a rule or something about that, but it's coming from the internal process, and that's, I mean, that's also a kind of, how you say, a timeless truth of practice in all wisdom traditions, that this is needed to really move into a new or yeah, a deeper way of being human.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because this is not this this isn't an idea that has that we're trying to fit ourselves into. This is actually a reality that has become available to us. And it's an important distinction. It's not a trademarked thing. It's not interbeing is a given, like the mathematical laws of the universe. It's a given because it's not invented. It's something that when one slows down and pays attention, that now, and perhaps in, of course, a kind of oneness with nature was the way of being for humanity for a long period of time. But at this point, this is a new way of accessing that wholeness from a position of choice. And that when individuated beings come together, human beings come together and put their intention behind and focus on the space between us, that something emerges there that is an intelligence that is beyond any of us. And that is not something that we make up. It's something that is part of this fabric that exists between the physical world and the absolute. It's part of the it's part of reality. And that it we're discovering it, we're working with it, trying to it's not that we're what we try to do is to learn from it to be able to be in this kind of co-creative dance with this intelligence that is in the field, so that we're learning how not to squash it, how not to destroy it through our own ideas and so forth, but to allow it to emerge and to come into its own between us, to take the perspectives that we have as individual human beings, the experiences, the knowledge, and to synthesize that together into something that is more than anyone is a surprise to everyone, let's put it that way. And this capacity is something that is really needed for us humans at this time, because we have a terrible, terrible record of working together. I mean, we human beings work together to do destructive things, where a group of people direct another group of people to kill each other. But in terms of really creatively working together and coming up to with new solutions, it's often quite difficult. And not only does interbeing allow us to sense into and access a lived experience of non-separation, a non-separation that is not a blur where everybody is blurred out in some kind of Borg state, but where we're all individuated and there is a transparency of togetherness that is available to us that allows us to think together and to create together, sort of with its guidance, you could say, It is a very powerful thing that we that seems to be needed at this point in time in with the human species.
Yeah, and I think that also becomes apparent in these times that it needs ways to come into wholeness in this creative way, and not only wholeness in kind of a meditative state, which is a powerful, also a powerful practice, but also finding ways to meet and to speak and to create and to find meaning and understanding with each other in the difference that we are, that we all bring in, but moving that in a wholeness that then also allows that deeper intelligence from the whole or from interbeing itself to inform us. And I feel that that is really it is something that this time is also calling for, and I also understand, the interbeing monastery as a way to create an online space to enable that, and also this different practices to somehow be orchestrated towards making that possibility emerge and be strengthened with each other.
Exactly. Exactly. That it can become a space where we practice the world that we want to live in.
Yeah, and also maybe one thing that I find interesting is also what you said in the beginning, and also what we do in this interbeing monastery space, also working with different practices that work together with each other or feed into each other or move into each other. Like you also use this free phrase by a cognitive scientist, Jean Vervaeke, an ecology of practices. So finding a way how practices really create a kind of ecology or maybe ecosystem to how they work with each other, like meditation, emergent dialogue, or Lectio Divina, like what you mentioned, where we work with a sacred text and reading and listening and sharing from our deep resonance, or the interbeing tea dialogues that enable more also to bring in our own things that move us individually, bringing that into a shared interbeing space, to finding different ways how to create a living ecology of presence towards that deeper strengthening that interbeing emergence and possibility.
And giving people a space to rest and to find like-minded companions to be able to do practice that in the company of others to just really have a sanctuary where there are no questions asked. One can come and practice. And can bring, as you said, in the interbeing tea dialogues, can bring in concerns with one's own life, from one's own life, the political situation, and inspiring something, and share that with other human beings in a process that looks at the existential core that we all share. And these just to have a space to be able to be together in practice and be practicing for a world that is based in wholeness and not division is the gift that we want to give to people.
Yeah, and also what I found interesting, also using that, I mean, you mentioned in the beginning also the importance of monasteries in human culture, and we are calling it Interbeing Monastery, which is, yeah, I found that also carries something, because obviously we are not a monastery like, where people get ordained and all of that.
We're made out of
But
pixels. Our monastery is made out of pixels, not out of stone.
yeah, right. And also it carries a certain intention, and I had to think about it the last weeks when I interviewed a brother Thomas Hessler, who is heading the Europa Kloster in Guteich in Austria. And he was talking about being a monk also as a kind of archetype. And I felt like, yeah, monastery is also a kind of archetype for that deeper intention that we're speaking about. How there is a place and there is a kind of longing in human consciousness, like to become a monk or a nun or an ordained, person in that way, to devote one's life to the sacred in a certain fashion. And that's happening in many traditions, and also create spaces where that can be focused and can live and can breathe. I felt like a monastery in a certain way, also temples and ashrams and other cultures also hold that archetype in a certain way of people gathering together to be in practice in the way we're talking about. And somehow I feel also with the Interbeing Monastery, we somehow move in that stream of intention and consciousness, and working with the practices that we developed and are experimenting with, and also with this online capacity, and trying to find a way to really create a space where we can meet together in that intention to live into an interbeing consciousness, the way we framed it. But I find it somehow it gives that whole idea and project, to me at least, a powerful context.
Yeah, that we're inviting people to become monks in the world, but that we make a commitment to, as you said, to the sacred in our lives, and that this is a space where one can cultivate that, and that's it's a beautiful archetype of commitment and intention and care for the sacred. And our online monastery is a virtual space where we each can bring that reality to life in our lives.
Yeah, and it also creates a space for that, and we are still working also with the design, but it's also, I feel, through the design and trying to find, we have also different spaces. We have a meditation chapel where the morning meditations are happening, and a practice sanctuary where a lot of the dialogues are happening. So finding also, in a certain way, an online architecture that works for that practice, and also the coming together and working together of these practices, and basically this is an invitation to join us in that, and move move together into that space.
Yeah, and I think it's also it's meant to be a space where people can move through it autonomously, meaning that you when you join the Inner Being Monastery, you become a community member, you then have access to meditations, tea dialogues, interbeing tea dialogues, global practice days, and you just look at the schedule yourself. It's just like in a church or ashram or temple, there's a notice put on the wall about what services are being given or what prayers are being said, and you just go. It's not like signing up for an event, and every time you have to sign up, you have access to the community, to the resources and practices of the community, to which we would like to be adding more different practices, but we feel we've got a strong foundation with meditation, Lectio Divina, and interbeing tea dialogues, and that's a good start, because as you said, they synergize together and create a field and access to something much deeper in us that is looking for air and looking to breathe between us.
Yeah, and I think that's important, is that it is really an invitation, and also, yeah, in a way, trying to find a way for that archetype of being a monk or a nun or a practitioner, to find a way that works for us in this time. And I think also having a space that allows for, yeah, for guiding oneself in that space. And we have these different practices, which I think really also work together in a beautiful way. Also, the having space for meditation and silence, and from that moving into dialogue, and then also into things that move us in our lives, and with moving with sacred texts, and all of that creates a certain, yeah, also practice ecology, like we said before. And it is a real community. That's what I also feel already growing from the few events we had, and just starting, that there is also a sense, especially when we have the practice days and there are many people, you feel, oh, this is a community of people who are sharing the kind of deeper intention, and yeah, I want to be there for each other in that. And in that way, it is the Interbeing Monastery is really invitation, and also for to check it out, to look at it, become a member, and then see what is offered there, and yeah, move into that together.
And how it can support you in the deepening of your own life by discovering that we're in interbeing together.
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth,
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you for the dialogue.
for opening that up. And yeah, as we said, we hope you will join us, become a member, and practice with us in whatever way it works for you. And yeah, hope to see you soon in the Interbeing Monastery.
Yeah,
Thank you.
indeed. Thank you.